Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 11 through 15. Titus 2, 11 through 15. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. Titus 2, 11 through 15. For the great salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon our time in the reading of this portion of Scripture. We pray, Lord, that you'd use it to speak to our hearts today as we hear the preaching from your word. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us today, and Lord, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit as he preaches. We pray that anyone here this morning and doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. Number 417 in your songbooks, 417, Faith of Our Fathers. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses. Throw that third verse in there also.
Faith of our fathers we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be true.
Great songs, aren't they? Amen. Songs with meaning. I appreciate the great company that we have, Mrs. Whitman, Mrs. Bergman. To have two pianos battling up front here, doesn't it? And they do a great job, and I really appreciate that. You know, they accuse those of us who still use a songbook and see the old hymns of having dead music. Well, we don't have to have rock beat and rock music to have lively music, do we? Amen. And the songs, the words are alive, but the music is alive too. And I sure appreciate the pianist. Anyway, glad you're here this morning. Take your Bible. Turn with me to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 11 through 15.
Preacher?
Yes, sir.
Say something real fast.
Brother, you go ahead. Amen.
Except if I got stuck behind somebody doing 25.
That's always a burden.
But I just wanted to tell everybody he loves everybody. And it's kind of sad because I would bring him.
Amen. And he enjoyed coming. More frequent visits there.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but he's 94?
93.
And he's been struggling. Had a fall a couple of weeks ago. We had gotten there. Brother Bergen was with me. The Bergmans and the Bergens around here, I get mixed up in my mind. But anyway, Brother Bergen was with me, and we got there just, he had fallen and been brought back that day, and we called on him. So God bless him. A couple of years ago when he got stood up here and told his testimony, he loved to tell about when he got saved. I love to hear it. And anyway, we'll miss him coming, but we'll be praying for him, and certainly visiting him, I think, is not out of order for anybody, right? And so you can always remember where he lives, and as he reminded me, it's 316, John 316, room 316 over there at the Whitcomb. Anyway, so you let him know we'll be praying for him. Thank you for taking him. We certainly miss him, and we're glad you're here this morning. All right. If a few other people would talk, I wouldn't have to preach. Anybody else? Teasing. All right. Titus chapter number 3 again. And we'll read verses 11. Or Titus chapter 2, excuse me. We'll read verses 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15. And then we're going to read a couple verses out of Titus chapter 3 as well. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And then if you would, in chapter 3, verse number 4, we'll read verses 4 and through 6 there. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by this which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. I got to read the next verse. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful few selection of scripture there for us this morning. Really quite interesting to me these days how many people are interested in taking old and used items and then repurposing them for other uses. You see that all over. You see programs about it. And it's really amazing to see what can be done with those old and repurposed things. People take items that their parents or grandparents had, and or go to estate sales or go to garage sales, which I never see until it's too late to stop. Amen. And some will even go to scrap yards to get these items. When they see something that they think can be repurposed in their mind, they'll buy it. And then they begin their work on that item. They have an image in mind and go to work to repurpose the items, to use them as they had imagined in their mind. Or often their purpose in mind to fix them up and resell them for a profit. Many people are creative in what they do with those items. The possibility is limitless as the imaginations and the abilities of the people who do it. They buy and then they repurpose. I want you to notice our text this morning, which is verse number 14. Who gave himself for us, chapter 2, verse 14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Today I want to speak on redeemed and repurposed. Let's just pause for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to proclaim your word. You tell us to do it with all authority. We can stand behind a pulpit and proclaim your word with authority. It's not ours. We're just opening up people what you have said. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me, empower me, that you'd minister through me to those here today. Thy will be done in our lives, I pray. Use us now. Again, if anybody here does not know Christ as their personal Savior, may they call on Jesus today and get that all-important matter settled once and for all. Bless this time, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Redeemed and repurposed. Redeemed and repurposed. Before I get into the message itself, I just want to notice these verses. I've preached from this passage, not on this particular verse by itself. But if you would notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Salvation outside of what God has done. I was talking with someone not long ago, and they mentioned, you know, that everybody has their different beliefs, and we've got to accept and understand the other beliefs. I accept that other people have other beliefs, but I don't accept what will happen to them believing that. If a person does not believe that Jesus Christ is He, Jesus said they'll die in their sins. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible says, neither is there salvation any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so when we think about, you know, other faiths and so on, yeah, other people believe other things, and we don't think ourselves to be above anybody else. We just do believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? And that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And in the Bible it says, every will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I believe that. And it's not greater or richer because I believe it. By the grace of God, I believe it, right? And it's true with or without me. And so the grace of God that brings salvation, only God has salvation, has appeared to all men. It's our job to make sure all men hear it. But it's appeared to all men in that Christ came into this world and lived life on our behalf and went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. I want you to notice the grace of God that saves us when we put our trust in Christ has lessons, verse 12, teaching us. The grace of God does not teach us to do what you want to do. You're saved, live like you want. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those are lessons of the grace of God. It'd do well for some of the contemporary thinkers to just read the Bible, amen? And do what God says here. And then, our message that couples salvation, saved people should be living as saved people. We don't live as saved people to become saved. We become saved by putting our faith in Christ. Then we should live as saved people. Looking for that blessed hope. We're living for Him, looking beyond today to the future, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Trumpet's going to sound. Those of us that know Him as our Savior are going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. He's coming back. And then verse 14 kind of explains a little bit about Jesus. It says, look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Notice those words there in verse 14 with me, please. That He might redeem us, underline it, iniquity, and purify unto Himself. Purify unto Himself, or redeem and repurpose. Redeemed and repurposed. You often hear the phrase, God has a purpose for your life. And truly He does. However, it must be understood that God uses unbelievers to be used unknowingly to accomplish His will. God used the hard-hearted Pharaoh to accomplish His plan in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Judas Iscariot, we all know who he was. Judas Iscariot, even unknowingly, was used to accomplish God's plan. God had foretold through the Lord Jesus would be betrayed. Psalm 41:9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Several hundred years before Christ was betrayed by Judas, the psalmist wrote of his betrayal. Judas rejected Christ as his Savior, though he walked with Him as a disciple. He rejected Christ as his Savior, and his unbelief was used in God's plan. The purpose of one's use depends upon the one to whom that person belongs. God definitely has a purpose in mind for all people. A negative purpose in fulfilling His positive plan if one doesn't belong to Him. But a positive purpose in fulfilling His positive plan for a special group of His, those who've been redeemed. Notice this verse again. Who gave Himself, verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He, Christ, might redeem us, believers, from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, redeemed and repurposed. The Lord redeems us here, is found here for saved people. I really despise sometimes the idea of teaching people there's a plan for their life if it doesn't start with you need to be saved. Because that's where it starts with God. And so He redeems and repurposes us. The word redeem means to release upon receipt of a ransom. To liberate, to buy the payment of a ransom. To cause to be released by payment. To deliver from the evils of every kind by the payment the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary. You see, first of all, we had to be redeemed. We were born as sinners, sold into the slave market of sin and sin's consequences. Our own purpose in life was to live for ourselves, unto ourselves. We were fulfilling the often ungodly and sinful desires of our own flesh. We were lost in sin as the children of darkness. And we were taken, the Bible says, captive by the devil at his will. We were bound to the consequences of sin. Eternal death, separation from God, in the lake of fire. I can't help but pause and just give out the thought, if you don't know Christ for sure as your Savior, all that's in front of you without Christ is an eternity away from God in hell. But for the redeemed, it's not so. We've been bought from the slave market of sin, bought from sin's consequences, bought from eternal hell through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself, who gave himself for us. He offered himself a ransom, a payment to release us from the penalty of our sins. Christ, the ransom. First Peter describes it like this, for as much know that ye were not redeemed, bought, released by ransom. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood that Jesus Christ shed for our sins covered the cost to ransom our souls from the slave market of sin and its consequences. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The precious blood that Jesus, I hear people say, well, it's his death that saves. Let me tell you what, his death included the precious blood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus shed his blood to pay the ransom for your sin and mine. And he paid it all. And the Bible says here in Titus chapter number 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Redeem us from all iniquity. So the idea of redeeming us, buying us back from all iniquity, the condition of being cursed by the law, that condition. He saw us how we were in all iniquity, living outside of God's law, sinful living, godless living, ungodly behavior, characteristic of unsaved people. That's how he saw us. Enslaved in that. And he paid for us with his blood to get us out of it. He saw us how we were, iniquity, living outside of God's law. He saw us used for purposes that didn't glorify him. He saw us in purposes that were directly opposite and opposed to his righteousness. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet he loved us, and he bought with his own blood. You know this verse. We quote it often. John 3:16. Quote it with me, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto your people zealous of good works. So, the idea of redemption, the redemption is not complete until there's the faith of acceptance of his payment. Where we willfully repent of our sins and we call upon him, accepting the price that he paid for our redemption. We're not saved by commitment. We're not saved by saying, Lord, I commit myself to you. We're saved by accepting the payment of ransom that he cross of Calvary when he shed his blood for us. We have to accept it by faith. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. That's accepting his redemption. Accepting the payment for his sin. And once we've done that, we become his, guilty of sin. And now we've been redeemed, bought, purchased, released to be his. Then God has a plan. God has a plan to begin repurposing us for his glory. Notice again in verse 14, if you would, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is God's repurposing of you and me once we're saved. The word peculiar is interesting. You hear people say, yeah, you know, after all, Christians are a peculiar people, and so they use that as an excuse for their idol. It's not what it means. The word peculiar means that which is one's own, belonging to one as a possession. A people selected by God from out of all the world through faith and salvation to become his people, his own. You see, before we were saved, we didn't belong to God. We were children of the devil. Redemption, because of him buying us from the slave market of sin and us putting our faith in Christ, we become his peculiar, his own purchased possession. We belong to him. Some people tend to think, well, if I'm saved, I'm freed from sin, but free to do what I want. No. You have changed in ownership. Your own flesh and sin and the devil owned you till you got saved. And if you've been redeemed, accepted Christ, you've been bought by his blood, and now you're his peculiar, his purchased, his own possession. You belong to Jesus. Amen. You're not your own. He bought us to be his own special possession with his purpose in mind for us. A mind to repurpose us. We once lived under ourselves, lived in an ungodly manner, redeemed you, you've put your faith in me, and now I have a new purpose for you. And first thing he does is he cleanses us. Look at verse number 14. And purify unto himself. It's for him. Purify unto himself. The word purify is used many times, the word for it. It means to make clean, to become free from stains and dirt, as you would clean utensils for food. It's worse than stopping at a restaurant and getting a dirty fork or spoon, amen? Give me another one. And God, to use us, he cleanses us. He removes by cleansing. In a moral sense, he cleanses us within. We're made free from the guilt of sin, and he begins purging us from giving in to sin in our own lives. He cleanses us. The word here for cleanse or purify in the Bible of cleansing relating to lepers. Go online sometime and look at different pictures of people with leprosy, and you'll get an idea. Their skin would be covered with infected, contagious, often disfiguring sores all over their bodies. And the Bible says, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou given over to the disease, and Jesus can purify it. The Lord told his disciples, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, the impurities being removed and the vessels becoming clean, ready to be repurposed for the new owner's use. It's interesting here. God has a purpose in mind, wonderful purpose in mind. If you notice in this passage of Scripture, again in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he, Christ, might redeem us, Christians, those who put their faith in Christ, redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself for his use, for his purpose, for his plan, purify unto himself a peculiar, purchased people, zealous of good works. It's a repurposing. You know, the word zealous is interesting. It's one burning with zeal. Remember Jehu? Well, I like to claim when it comes to driving, he drove his chariot furiously, right? And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Zeal, burning with desire, used to describe people doing something fervently, most eagerly, zealous, vehement, to condemn them. He says, I've bought you, and I'm cleansing you. I'm getting off the old stain. I'm fixing the legs and the limbs, and I'm kind of resurfacing you, making you clean, because I want you to get on fire to do something for me. Amen? God pity the Christians that are all bogged down in discouragement. That's not what we're for. We're repurposed to be zealous for God, to have zeal. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, the scripture said, of Jesus Christ. To be zealous of, notice particularly here, good works. This is the repurposing idea that God has in mind. He says, I've bought you out of sin. You were lost. You were headed for hell. I paid for you, cross of Christ, a Calvary. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. Now I'm cleaning you up, and I'm fixing you up so that I can use you for my purpose. You belong to me, of good works. He said, I want to make you do good works and be zealous. The word good, certainly this applies to some of us. Beautiful, handsome, excellent. Amen. I'm supposed to say amen, right? Okay. That's what the word means. A good, beautiful, handsome, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable, beautiful to look at, shapely, magnificent, good, excellent in nature and characteristics, well adapted to its end, genuine, approved, precious, beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life. All ideas of the word good. He says, I've bought you because you're mine, now you're mine, and I'm going to cleanse you so that you... Amen. In doing good, zealous of good, beautiful, admirable, commendable works. The word works. Business. Employment. That which is occupied or performed. That which is undertaken, an enterprise. And an act, a deed, something done. God says, I have bought you. Now you're redeemed, and I'm cleansing you, purifying you, fixing you up as mine so that I can use you to do beautiful works for my honor and for my glory. God bought us to repurpose us, to be zealous in the business of doing good. The Bible says about Jesus, how Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Christians ought to do good. That which is beautiful, that which is glorifying to God, that which is beneficial to others. Christians are bought and repurposed for that end. In Ephesians, you know these verses, I'll just read them to you. The Bible says, you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God before ordained that those people whom he bought with his blood, who accept Christ as their Savior, God, that they would be repurposed and become a people that honor and glorify him with their lives. Are you fulfilling God's repurposing desire in your life? Where is workmanship created in Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, in these good works? It's the purpose for all Christians that we, having been bought, would let God reshape us and remake us, change us, to perform those things which are beneficial to his kingdom, beneficial to others. Sometimes people get the idea, oh, that means I need to be a preacher. Well, that might be part of the repurposing for some people, but not for most. Amen? Thank God there's only a few of us nuts around, right? But it's preaching's only a small portion. It's part of that repurposing. I remember after I got saved, when I just felt like in my heart that God was leading me to surrender my life to be a preacher of the gospel, and in my mind it meant to pastor church and lead people to serve him. I remember that. But before then, after I got saved, God was already repurposing me. I didn't run with the other guys I used to run with. I shared the gospel with the fellows with me in the Army. Told you about other people that I led to the Lord there in the Army. Started working in a church, working on a bus route, picking up kids for Sunday school, Killeen, Texas, Killeen Baptist Temple. Had over 100 on my bus one time there. Never did that again. Can't do it now legally. Kids were hanging out the windows and dragging behind and all that good stuff. Anyway, I led the singing down there, believe it or not. I led the singing. I'm teaching a Sunday school. God was repurposing me till one night, it was in December, I remember in a meeting in church, I just felt I just need to do something else. Surrendered to preach, and then went off to Bible college and was helped along that pathway. That's not for everybody. But for everybody is this repurposing. God redeemed every one of you here that's put your faith in Christ, zealous, to show forth his goodness. A lot of Christians are zealous for other people to show them goodness. You heard the song, Others, Lord, Yes, Others, Help This My Model Be, Help Me to Live for Others That I Might Live Like Thee. And I had a friend in college that changed the words, Others, Lord, Yes, Others, Help This Their Motto Be, Help Them to Live for Others That They Might Live for Me. That's the way some Christians look at it. But a redeemed person is being repurposed to live like Christ, who gave himself for us. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We don't believe we're saved by good works, right? This doesn't happen. We're not good enough. We come short. Sin comes short of the glory of God. But as saved people accepting his good works in our behalf, we then are being repurposed to perform those good works that reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, that show his goodness and kindness to other people and point them to a saving knowledge of Christ where they can be redeemed and then they can be repurposed in their lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. People know that we are Christ's disciples for sure, Jesus said, is if we have love one what? For another. A lot of Christians have changed that today. The way they know you're a Christian is if you do this or that or don't do this or that. That's not how people know you're Christians. Anybody can conform. And there are many things to which we should conform as Christians. But Jesus said the way that people know we're his disciples, if we have That's what we're repurposed for. To show the love of Christ. God commendeth his love toward us. In verse chapter number 3, the kindness, verse 4, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, what? Appeared. Look at that with me, please. Titus 3 and verse 4. Titus 3 verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man, what? Appeared. Did it appear? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How did it appear? He was born of a virgin. How did it appear? He lived among sinful men. How did it appear? He came up to people like Zacharias and said, you come down from that tree because I'm going to your house today. This day is salvation come to you. How did it appear? It was Jesus being born of a virgin, born in the flesh, God, man, man and God, and he the God-man, Jesus Christ. And he walked in this earth. God's goodness and kindness appeased and culminated in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. People saw it. And God wants us, having been redeemed by what Christ did, to be then repurposed so that other people see Jesus in us. It's time that we get off our self-centered hobby horse, amen? And it's time that we say, okay, don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. And Lord, I want to yield myself so that you can shape me and repurpose me and use me how you want to use me. And don't shoot me with that. Couple key words I want to point out real quick. In chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's the cleansing, making all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The washing of regeneration, that's the new birth. And then I want you to notice the next phrase, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That is the repurposing. That's the transformation process that God is using by the power of the Holy Spirit to make us have greater usefulness. He's redeemed us, born again, regenerated. And now he's renewing us, repurposing us. Where are you in the process? In 1957... Yes, you know I was born. But also in 1957, this building was built to be the Stevensville Elementary School. Mark, did you go to school here? In junior high, okay. It closed, the building closed in the late 70s or very early 80s. It was then used for a couple different things and given to the Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church, Stevensville. In 1986, Berrien County Baptist Church purchased this building. It was run down, in need of many repairs, but with a purpose in mind, it was bought. 30 plus years, it's been being repurposed for use as a church belonging to Berrien County Baptist Church. Some of the rooms have been repurposed a couple times as the church has determined their use. The nursery used to be back there when I came here, and this was the auditorium, just one 30 by 30 room. And then it became repurposed, and God has given us this. I remember during services here, and clang, clang, lockers being shut. I did that just to wake a few people up. Anyway, but... Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But the locker's being shut. Well, we repurposed that area. The nursery's been expanded to repurpose that area. Being used as Berrien County Baptist Church, its owner, has need of. Well, we've, with me, it was August 13th, 1976. When did you accept God's payment? And then after we've been redeemed, after we've accepted Christ, it says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us for all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. If you've been redeemed, I ask, are you letting God redeem your life? Not how you want it, how he wants it. If you're saved, you've been redeemed, you've been bought, you've been purchased by the blood of Christ, you belong to Jesus. Now, let him repurpose everything about you to use you according to his will. Don't say, well, I'm just always been this way. Let him change it. Maybe your way ain't so good. Let him purify from your life that don't glorify him and can't be used in a positive way for his glory. The sins of the flesh, the attitudes of the heart, the desires of the will, let him repurpose you. You're redeemed to be repurposed. If you're continuing in your own way constantly, I have to ask, have you been redeemed? Have you been redeemed? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, we sang. But a redeemed person then starts getting repurposed. That's what God does. If not, if you've never really accepted his redeeming power, you ought to come this morning when we stand and sing and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the one who paid the price for your redemption. If you know you've been saved, yield your heart, your mind, your will once again to him and say, Lord, make me, repurpose me what you want me to be. And it may change through the course of time what he wants to do with your life. What goodness of God is someone else gleaning from your life today? Zealous of good works. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us enough with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture says we love you because you first loved us. Help us to show that love, to let you repurpose our lives that we can be used here and now for your glory, pointing people to you for salvation and exemplifying Christ to those around us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. And not letting God work in your life. Listen, he wants to repurpose you. And it's far greater than you could even do on your own. Don't tell him what you want to be. Ask him what he wants you to be. Don't tell him what you need. Ask him what you need to change in your life. The Holy Spirit nudges us about different things and different times. Yield to him. Christian friend, this morning, I want to come in a new way, in a fresh way to the Lord. Lord, I belong to you, and I want to glorify you in my body and spirit. So I resubmit myself to you to change me, make me what you want me to be for your glory. Would you do that as a Christian this morning? Maybe you ought to come and pray and just say, Lord, I rededicate myself as a Christian. I know I'm saved, but I've been doing my own thing. And I want to rededicate myself to you. Repurpose me like you want me to be. Maybe you ought to come, just privately pray that slip this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, that you've been redeemed, you need to come and say, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless your word this morning. Challenge our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would not let us rest till we apply these things in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Number 389 in your songbook is You're All on the Altar.
I've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and ever your heart.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love for us, sent to us, introduced to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for the power of your redemption through the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, thank you that having bought us, you have a great purpose fulfilled. Help us to yield. Bless us as we go our separate ways. May these things that we've pondered this morning echo back in the chambers of our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.